saved tonight. Amen. I'm glad I know what Easter's all about. And I know y'all have heard about the eggs a time or two here before, hadn't you? Amen. It ain't about the eggs. It's about Him. And bless His name for that. But it's always good to come back here to the home church. And a lot of great memories here. Amen. Boy, howdy. Appreciate the Lord's work here, what He does. And never one bit jealous. I ask Him to bless this place because it's a blessing to me. I mean, us younger preachers, a lot of time we go to that man right there and we want some advice. And that's the way it's supposed to be. I need a pastor too. Amen. I really do. And he needs a pastor. I appreciate the Lord giving us pastors according to His heart, He said. I appreciate Him doing that. It's my heart tonight, just briefly, we'll get into the Word of God. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6. It's going somewhere different, but I believe this will be what the Lord have us to do. It's my heart to just be a little bit of a help to you if the Lord would permit it tonight. Isaiah chapter number 6. Let's have a word of prayer. Kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we come before You tonight, Lord, grateful, dear God, for the privilege, Lord, of proclaiming Your gospel. Lord, I pray tonight, dear Lord, that You would reach down upon Your servant. Lord God, use me, Lord, as Your little mouthpiece. Lord God, not for my sakes, by no means, but Lord, You know Your sheep here in this fold, and You know what they need. God, I pray that You'd feed that one. Lord God, that's hungry tonight, give them that they need. I pray You'd encourage the body of Christ and help them, Lord. We surely need You in this hour that we're living in. We must have You, Lord. We love You and we praise You and ask Your blessings in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. Amen. Notice Isaiah chapter 6 in verse number 1. The Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, He says, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings, with twain He covered His face. With twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Even in a time, is this time that's mentioned here in the Bible, when Uzziah had died. And I'm going to give you a little rundown of that here in a little bit, but even in a time such as that, His glory is in all the earth. And the post of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And you can be seated tonight. Thank you for standing. And I'd love to preach just for a little while tonight on taking a closer look. Taking a closer look. And I'd like to say in this day and hour that we live in, it's no new news to you on what we live in this day and how our nation has turned its back on God. I believe that with all of my heart. But if there's anything that the remnant, I'm not talking about the churches that line the streets on every corner, but I'm talking about the true body of Christ, if there's anything that we need in this day and hour, it's to take a closer look at the One on the throne. And we was at our church this morning, and I couldn't get the thought off my mind of Him being on His throne. And
You know, from time to time when things around me go to crashing and when things go to tearing to pieces and I just flat out, I don't know if you get to the place to where you don't know what to do sometimes, but there is times when I just don't know what to do. Amen. And I like what the Bible says there. He saw also. Amen. And it does good when everything else looks dim and drab, when everything else looks like it's going to hell in a handbasket. It does good to remember what we have so. It does good to look and see Him high and lifted up upon His throne. And it does good to realize that He is still in charge. Hey, because I'm telling you, this world here will remind you. It'll lie to you. It'll tell you things that'll get you down and discouraged. It'll do things, it'll turn you upside down. It'll confuse you. And you'd better remember that He is still on the throne, and especially in this day and hour that we live. And I don't know if you realize it or not, but we're in some tough times. And I don't want to be a prophet of doom, and I don't want to send you home. I know you've heard, we're in some real rough times. It might, if the Lord was to pull back the veil, and I know He wouldn't let us handle it. We couldn't handle it, no way. But if He was to just let us see a little peek of what's coming around the corner in the United States, and the United States is not what the Bible is wrote about. Amen. The Bible is wrote about over there, Israel, God's chosen people. Can I say here, if He was to pull back and let us see just a little bit of what's coming around the corner, I'm telling you, it'd probably make us lose more sleep than we already have. We'd fall back in love with the One that saved us. Well, but I'd love to look at the time. And Isaiah here, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died. If you go back over into the Old Testament there in 2 Kings chapter 15, you'll see where he died. And you'll see that Amaziah prevented him in Azariah, which is Uzziah. And then you got Jotham. Then you got King Ahaz over Judah. All of these kings, and as I read those, it seems like they kept a pretty good pattern of just a mediocre. God help us, I don't want to be a mediocre Christian. Amen. It'll say that they done all that their father did. They done which was right in the sight of the Lord, but they didn't remove the high places. And they left the high places. They let them burn incense. But it got on down to Ahaz, and it got pretty bad. And down at Ahaz there, they began to make their children pass through the fire. They would sacrifice their children to their gods. And can I say that it got pretty bad in this day and hour that we're looking at here in this text. But notice in chapter 1, let's look at this, and I won't take long, I'll be brief. Notice chapter 1, the Bible says the vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. And hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Can I say that the United States of America, it ain't because of what no man's done that this nation is what it is today, but it's because God's grace has been shed on it. God's blessed this nation, and God's made it what it is today. Hey, I'm telling you, He's the One that's established this nation. He's blessed. He's the reason it ain't failed today. But notice it says, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. We've turned our backs on God. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know my people, doth not consider. Sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backwards. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt me more and more. And the whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it. but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country, listen to this verse. Boy, what a verse. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers, listen now, strangers devour in your presence. Isn't that amazing? And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. You know what's happened here in the good old U.S. of A.? Our forefathers founded this thing on God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And we've let heathens come in this country, and we've let them come in, and they've instilled their beliefs in other gods, and they've devoured the land and destroyed the land. And it's desolate. As overthrown by strength. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant. We should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. But hear the word of the Lord. Ye rulers of Sodom, give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. Now notice back, in this time here when Uzziah died and Isaiah was looking across this thing, I noticed the period of the vision. Oh, it must have been surprising to him. It must have been surprising. It seemed like that God had left the nation. It seemed like that God was nowhere to be found. No, I wonder tonight if it's ever seemed like that to you. If it was a surprising vision, that it seemed like God was nowhere to be found, but He is there. No, I say it was surprising, but oh, it's also a sad period. A sad period. No, what a sad day we live in. When homosexuals can get married, what a sad day we live in. When children will be given. God forbid that two men live together. But God forbid double time when they'll take a child and put it in that home and say that a man can be a mama to a child. God help us. No, it's a sad time. As Isaiah looked at these times, and he's seen the children being passed through the fire and sacrificed. We say, well, we'd never do that. Well, what in the world are we doing then? We give our children over to the world, and we may not strike the match to them, but hey, we're sure enough putting the kindling around them. No, listen, in these last days that we live in these tough times that we live in, you'd better be getting you a vision of something that's going to stand out when all the smoke and the haze from this world comes. You'd better get a vision of something that's mightier than you. Like what Brother Craig Edwards said one time, he says that we're living in a pretty good time. I agree with that. He says we're seeing prophecies fulfilled that no other time has seen. Boy, that's the truth. But I believe we can look at it, to whom much is given, much is required. And boy, you better believe the devil's a-raging. Amen? I use the devil generically. Amen? I realize that. And that devil, he don't never come down to my house, but he's got some little unks that come. Amen? He's got some little unks that come to your house. He's got some that's scattered around here at Liberty Baptist Church. No, can I say, in this day and hour, you'd better realize who's in charge and who's on the throne and what He's out there to do. I say, it's a sad time with what's going on in Judah. It's a sobering time. It's a sobering time. I don't know if you realize it or not, and I know God can do. I just don't know if it will turn around, but can I say that except the Lord steps in, back in verse 10, chapter 1, except the Lord steps in, we headed downhill fast. except unless he decides to come in and I just don't see it in my Bible. But if he was to want to, he could do it. No, but could I say, unless he steps in, unless he brings revival, unless he helps us out, hey, it's looking pretty dim. It's looking pretty dim. And it's time for God's people to wake up and smell the coffee. Hey, quit playing tiddlywinks and, hey, come to the house of God. You'd better savor every hour. You'd better savor every message, every word that's preached. Hey, every time the Spirit comes, you'd better savor it and take it in because you may need it one day. You may need it. Notice what the Spirit is saying to the churches in Revelation 3. He told Sardis, he said, you better remember some things. You'd better grab hold of some things. You better hold some things, he told them. You know what? In this day and hour that we live, you'd better, every message this man of God preaches, you'd better be like a bloodhound. And getting right in the middle of it and see if you can seek you something out and go to chewing on it. Amen. It ain't time to sit there. It ain't time to sit down asleep in the house of God. It ain't time to... I can't even stand to come to the house of God. Amen. There's some that's here tonight. They'd rather be somewhere else. You'd rather be burning a brush fire somewhere. Hey, but you better be glad that you are in the house of God tonight. It's surprising to him. This period was surprising. It was sad. It was sobering. But I say the person also of the vision. And I say, verse number 1 there, he says he saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. He's on his throne of judgment. And he is angered at what's going on. Don't think for one minute that God is some sissy. He is a loving God. Of course He is. If he didn't love nobody, we'd be doomed. But He is on His throne, and I promise you, not one thing is going unnoticed. He notices the abortions. He notices that our nation, our leaders have voted that we pay for abortion out of our taxes. He's noticed all the things that go on. And He's sitting on His throne and He's going to bring judgment one day to this place. By the way, face up to it. And I'm not saying Obama's Antichrist. He's too ignorant to be the Antichrist. Amen? He ain't got sense enough. But listen here. What we'd better do is we'd better realize that He is upon His throne. And He's not only angered at what the world's doing, and He's angered at the way the church is. It's cold, it's lukewarm, hey, it's carelessness. Hey, it could care less about what's going on in the world. These mamas, they could care less that their sons and their daughters are going to hell. Nobody prays anymore. Hey, we need to get a burden again for what's going on in our lives. Made this statement before to Brother Ken. You know what hurts me as a pastor the most is not those that just got saved that don't know to come on Sunday night, that don't know to come for choir practice, Brother Tim, don't know to come on Wednesday night. But you know that they've got to learn. But what hurts me to the core, and preachers do have feelings. We don't just come to draw a check. We love you. We care about you. And you know what hurts is when people that's core people. People that know better. Amen? Amen? Deacons. Song leaders. Teachers. Leaders of the church. I don't care who you are. My church. Say some of my folks here. My folks, raise your hand. Amen? I'm preaching to y'all too. I'll just preach to y'all. Amen? And there's a time when we ought to know better. Amen? And I'll tell you what we need to do is we need to straighten up. It's what we need to do. Leaders is what, last time I checked what leaders mean, it means to lead. Amen? And how in the world, if you're blind, how in the world are you going to lead somebody? How in the world are you going to stand up in front of class and teach it? How are you going to be a deacon? How are you going to be a song leader? And you're not at the house of God. And I'll tell you why in the world it happens. It ain't because Susie had a ball game. It ain't because... you can tell me all you want to. It ain't because you had to do this or had to do that. Oh, preacher, I couldn't make it and I had a headache. I'd love to know. That's exactly right, because you just don't care. But I would make my day is if somebody next time they lay out, I call them to bug them. You mean I bug them? They lay out, they know they're supposed to be there. I'm going to bug them. Oh, preacher, why don't you just tell me I just didn't want to come? Thank you. Amen. Now I know how to pray. Amen. Amen. But can I say that he's angered? But he's still the authority. It says he is sitting upon a throne. High and lifted up. He's in an authoritative position. Amen? Could I say that He has a name which is above every name? Amen? He is still, in 2010, He is the everlasting. He's the last authority. There's no other. There's nobody else to question. He is the authority. You may think in this day and hour, since things have changed around, that he may need to call a deacon's meeting to get something done in the church. You may think that he may need to go and talk to Congress before he can get something done in the United States. He may need to go to the United Nations before he can get something done in the world. But could I say, when he gets ready to pull the trigger, he's going to pull the trigger. He ain't going to ask nobody. He ain't even going to ask his little preachers. Yeah, man. He's in an authoritative position. He is the authority. Can I say it, sir, and no, sir, to him? It's not, well, I think it ought to be like this. Well, Lord, a lot of us pray, don't you think this will work better? Lord, I got a bird's eye view down here. What's going on? And hey, I've tried it that way and it just don't work. Oh, we know how to pray. Amen. Thank God that there is a spirit there that helps our infirmities. Amen. I am one that has prayed some ignorant prayers before. And I know there's a lot of spiritual people in here that have never done that. And I know there's some real spiritual people that can really get a hold of God. But hey, I've prayed some ignorant prayers before. Boy, I'm telling you, I sure am glad that He's in charge of this thing. I sure am glad that He's done assigned the Spirit of God to me. He said, hey, go down there and watch after that boy. He's ignorant. Amen. Boy, I need somebody watching after me. I need somebody looking after me. Hey, because I don't know which way to go. He's angered. He's the authority. But can I say that He is the anointed one with power? It says his train filled the temple. Amen. Hebrew words for that is shul. Has the idea of a hem, the hem of a garment, the bottom part of that garment. And you remember over there in Mark chapter 5, the lady, what did she touch? Oof. The hem of his garment and virtue. He said, hey, somebody's touched me. Can I say that he has the power? He has the power. He has the power to do whatever he wants to do. He's still God. He's still able. Honey, I don't care what your problem is. If you'll just get a vision of him and rely on him, everything will be all right.
Let's say this person's angry. He is the authority. He is the anointed one. The period of the vision, the person of the vision. But I notice also the power of this vision. And I've watched how I've preached, and it's sort of confusing to a pastor. You preach and preach and preach. Folks will run down to the altar. Oh, Lord. Get up. Go back to the seat. You preach it again. Oh, Lord. Back to the seat again they go. Next Sunday rolls around, it's like clockwork. If you ever really get the vision, there'll be a change take place in your life. I'm just telling you. If you ever realize who it is that's sitting on the throne, if you ever realize who you're dealing with, it'll humble you. You'll see things different. Amen? And that's the problem. That's the problem with a lot of people. And they've got a case of religion. Had one this morning. Said you thought she was saved. Now, I couldn't talk her out of it for nothing, Brother Ken. I said, you really think you lost? I said, I know I'm lost. That's what I like to hear. Amen. You can talk them out of it. They ain't right, man. But can I say, listen, if there's anybody that ever gets a vision of him on his throne, it'll change your life. If you ever realize, Christian, if you ever realize who you're dealing with, it'll put some fear in you. You have, I'm telling you what. Now this ain't, you ought to get in your Bible. I know you ain't been reading your Bible. If you read your Bible, you'll have a little fear. I can tell by the way some folks live, they don't read. Because God's killed some folks before for some of the things that go on. What we need in our Baptist churches. I'm talking about our churches. Amen? Yes, what we need is a true vision of who we're serving. We need a true vision of who He is. We need a vision of His power. We need a vision of His place. Amen? And we need a vision of His promises. One more time. I'd see this power, first of all, it's effective. Amen? It was showing. Verse number 3, notice the Bible. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. It's a showing. When His power comes on the scene, when this vision comes in your life, it's going to show you some things. It's going to reveal some things in your life. It's going to bring to light some areas in your life that you never knew about. It's going to show you some things that's been hidden before. Boy, I read something other. You know these parables in the Bible? You know, there's some things that's not necessarily... A lot say that them parables is written for understanding, but Lord wrote those things to confound the wise. He wrote those things, He put stuff in them parables to confuse this world and let the Christians
let God's people know the mysteries of the Word. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 said this world ain't got a clue what the Word says. Amen? And the Spirit must reveal these things. No, if the Spirit would ever come around where we're at, He'll show us some things in our life that's always been there. And we'll say, oh me. Now this is Isaiah we're talking about here now. It was showing, but can I say, it was also shaking. It said the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. All this running to the altar. Now I tell you, I love the altar. And I'm not preaching against it. Y'all know where I'm coming from. Amen. But all this running to the altar and nothing sticking while you're down here, if you ever get a vision, it won't take near as many times. Amen. If you ever get a vision, honey, I'm telling you what, if He ever lights it up in your life, if He ever takes that big old glorious spotlight and shines it down in your saved soul, amen. If he ever lights up your soul way down on the inside down there, can I say that it's going to be revealing in your condition. He's going to show you some things and then He's going to shake the fire out of you. You know what He done to them bones over in Ezekiel 37? He shook the fire out of them. Amen. You know what He's got to do to some of you for your own good tonight? I have no earthly idea what tomorrow holds. If anybody in here does, come see me after service and we may just go to Vegas. Amen? It wouldn't be gambling then, would it? I'm just kidding. Scratch that off her. I have no earthly idea what's coming in the morning for me. No, God in heaven, whew, I don't even like to think about it. Because my mind's all messed up. You just got one, I go to thinking crazy. You know, I don't know what's going on, but He does. He knows, He knows, He knows. And you know something else He knows? He knows my condition. He knows where I live. I ain't talking about over yonder. He knows where I'm living. I see Brother Kim about once a week, maybe once every 2 or 3 weeks, 4 weeks. He ain't got a clue how I live. Buddy, but you better believe He knows. You know what? For my good, in order for all things to work together, you know what He may do to me? He may shake me a little bit. Yeah, man? He may take me and pick me up upside down and go to shaking on me and shaking on me until it gets my attention. He may take you by the feet tomorrow morning. But you've got to realize while He's got you by the feet that He is on the throne. He's calling the shots. He's in charge of it all. He is God. And He's just a shaking a while for your own good. It's a showing vision. This power is showing. This power is shaking. But you rest assured that it's also a smoking. And He's going to show you some things. And He's going to shake you a little bit. Get you all stirred. It don't take much to stir me up. Don't take much to shake me up. But you know what He'll do? He'll go to burning the impurities off. You know what? These things today, these things tomorrow that you might not can do that you could do last Monday. I'm just going to tell you, used to I could dip snuff. And I'm not preaching against snuff. I used to really could dip. Boy, and I tell you, I loved the fire out of it. I was a saved man. But you know what? There come a day when the smoke began to rise in my life. And I didn't want to see it. You know, there's a part of me that wanted to see it. But then there's another part of me that wanted to run. Anybody ever been to that place? And there's still a part of me that'd like to have a dip today. But that battle's done been won. Amen? I don't want to go there. But can I say that it's a smoking power, and when this power, this true power, I'm not talking about a little fuzzy message. Yeah, man. I'm not talking a little fuzzy novel. I'm not talking about I'm talking about when the thrice holy God sends His power into your life, there's going to be a smoking in your life, and He's going to smoke some things out of your life for your own good. And you'd better thank Him for it. And anybody in here that says they like trials, you know, I don't understand. I mean, I'm telling you now, I like them when they're gone. I really do, because I usually learn something. And I can look back and say, whew. Amen. I can look back and say, glory to God. But boy, do we ever need to realize that He knows what tomorrow holds. If I could say anything to the church, anything to the men of God in the house of God tonight, I believe with all of my heart this day that we live in should be a day of sincerity. If there's ever been a time when we should wake out of our sleep, it's now. Oh, Lord, it seems like instead of awakening, it seems like the church is going further and further and further. It seems like they just don't care. Hey! Whoa, we'd better awake. We'd better wake up. This thing may not last very long at all. This thing we've been preaching about, the second coming of Christ, it could slap you in the face very soon. You know, we've gotten calloused over it. We've gotten calloused over the thought, He's a coming again. We'll let the preacher get up and just shout, He's a coming again, He's a coming again. We'll shout the house down. Go home and can't remember what He said. God, I'm serious as I can be. Well, if there's ever a time that you need to wake up, that I need to wake up, it is today. Realize our duties. There ain't many people that's going down the right path. There's not many people that's headed down the right road. God help you preachers when you preach to put everything into it. You never know what person in this audience, I don't care if it don't help nobody but that one that it's intended for.
Sure.
Oh, but you know God will use you in that way to help one soul. Preachers, you ought to study and get in the Word of God, and it ought to trouble you when you don't feel like you've got a word from heaven. Don't just grab an outline. Don't just say, I preach this. Don't just say, but you get alone with God and you pray and get something from heaven. We've gotten to a place to where we don't seek the Spirit. Let's go on. The period of the vision, the person of the vision, the power of the vision. Let's look lastly at the problem of the vision. There's a problem in this vision. Verse number 5, he said, then said I. You know where we need to get to tonight? You know, we're so easily deceived. We're so, you know, the devil, it's no effort for him. No effort for him. I use that terminology generically. His bunch, no effort for him to get us.
He can send one little thing in our church. I mean, little bitty goofy something. You know, and just there'll be a family gone here. Goofy. And there again, it's people that know better. We don't realize who our enemy is. We don't realize who the enemy is, what he's trying to do. The problem, boy, if we could get to the place, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Could I say he realized it was himself? He realized it was sin. He repented for the solution. What we need to do tonight, what you need to do, what I need to do, we need to, you know, you've got to determine some things in your life. You can think it all you want to, but it ain't going to do you no good. The doctor come in and told you, if you don't get on the treadmill, you're going to be dead in a few months because your heart is clogged up with hamburger grease. You know what you're going to do? If he just was on it, if he was just preached to you bluntly, you're going to die. You, amen? Am I right? You're going, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get me a treadmill. Can I say one last place? Let's look. One last place. Revelation chapter 3. I want to show you this. Revelation chapter 3. Verse number 1. I'm going to go ahead and start reading. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write these things, saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Right here. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. And what a phrase right here. That are ready to die. That are ready to die. How many things in your life, your spiritual life, is on life support tonight? You don't even know about it. Preacher, I'm grounded good. I'm grounded good. My church. I do this and do that. That's wonderful. Don't never overestimate yourself. You know what we need to do? And I realize this is going to go in one ear and out the other. A lot of people, but maybe there's a few that would really like to mean business with God. Just sell out to Him. You know the junk that's in your life that He's dealt with. You know He may be shaking you. Maybe what's going on in your life may be to shake you a little bit and get your attention. I wonder tonight, what's your heart? Sister would play and these people that He has commissioned us. He says, we're witness. Witnesses unto Him. Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Our own families, we give up on them so easily. I wonder tonight, if you get sincere with God, if whoever you are that this message was for, I'll ask Brother Ken to take over and do as he pleases. I beg you. Why don't you let him...